Let me invite you tonight over to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 28. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 28.
Give you a moment to turn over there. I'd like for you to see everything that's going on that we'll look at tonight. I believe it'll be an encouragement and a blessing and a revelation of how God really wants to work in your life and mine. And the amazing part of it all is he's never changed. It's all been there right along. God just needs to open up our hearts and minds to see it. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. Reads this way. It says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to gather together in your house. And Lord, you've said where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide us and bless us with your Holy Spirit that you've indwelt every believer with, that we might worship you in truth and spirit, and Lord, that we might see you and hear from you, Lord, and be drawn closer to you. May you be glorified tonight, and Lord, especially through our lives, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be to a lost and dying world. Bless the service tonight, for we ask this in the prayer time to follow, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is an allegory of truth, or a picture of truth. Here we have a picture of the truth of what God gives to every believer. God is a respecter of no one, right? He's not a respecter of persons. He treats everybody just the same. Listen, if you are in the family of God, you're a child, you're in his hands, and he'll never forsake you. Isn't that good? Tonight, I want to take a few moments and I want to look at this. I want to look at David's responsibility. Then I want to look at Eliab's false accusation of David. By the way, Eliab's his older brother. And then I want you to see the key ingredient to faithfulness. And listen, God wants us to be faithful. God died on the cross and shed his blood so we can be faithful. And faithfulness is not dependent upon your strength or mine. It's solely dependent upon the grace of God. And if we can grasp that truth, God will be glorified in your life and mine. If we can walk in that truth and keep meditating on that truth, God will do great and mighty things. Let me say that again. God will do great and mighty things in our lives, through our lives, for his honor and glory and our blessing. So by way of introduction here, I just want to take a moment here and look at this, at what Eliab said here. He said, "And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" In case you wondered, that question was not a compliment. All right? It wasn't something that he was trying to do to build up David. In fact, he was falsely accusing his brother. And so I want you to see David had a responsibility of taking care of his family's sheep, and there were just a few of them. There wasn't a whole lot. There was probably more than a couple. There's probably more than 7, 8, 9 maybe, a few sheep, not a whole big herd. And so God also has entrusted you and I with just a few things, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. And God wants us to be diligent about what he's given to us by his grace. But I want to back up here and look at verse 15. And I want you to see David's responsibility. Here in 1 Samuel 17, verse 15, I want you to see David's responsibility. Look at verse 15. It says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." So he did return, and he's feeding his father's sheep. "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son." Now you have to remember, there was no really communication there. Notice what Jesse is doing, but I want you to see something, and that is the providence of God. Nobody communicated to David or to Jesse about Goliath, about the Philistine. Nobody communicated to him. But see, there was a working that God was doing. There was a work of the Spirit just as God works today, because our God, our Bible tells us that our God is the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever, right? All right, so he's the same. And so he says he returned to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Verse 16, the Philistine draws near. And notice verse 17, and Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren. Listen, there's peace right here. There's no worry. There's no concern. There's responsibility. David was taking care of his family's sheep. And now his son, his father calls him to do a task. And so he says, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So we're going back and forth. Do you see that? We have serenity and peace. We've got a battle taking place. We go back to a little bit of peace, and we go back to the battlefield and see what's going on. And so, notice what happens. We come back to Bethlehem, the house of God, the place of peace. And it says, verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. Was he responsible? Did he take care of business the right way? All right, this is important. So he was taking care of the sheep. The father says, I'm going to send you on an errand. The heavenly father had a battle for David to fight. But because he was a good steward by the grace of God, God was able to entrust him with something else that was bigger. And by the way, David had the confidence of the success that God the Father had given him in the past. All right? So notice what's going on right here. Verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. And so here they are. David walks in on this whole scene, and Goliath, the giant, is mocking the army of God, right? Okay, so this is his responsibility. He was a responsible person at this, a young man, by the way. He was very responsible, and his dad sends him out, and he sees this. And now I want to remind you of something else while we're right here. And that is that David took care of the sheep and obeyed his father. God has given us sheep to watch, so to speak. And this is the allegory. This is the picture. And our heavenly father also has called us to obey his commandments, right? Okay, so now listen. Let me ask you this. Do you believe the word of God?
Amen.
All right, let me ask that again. Do you believe the word of God?
Amen.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
All right,
it's the truth. Anything contrary to the truth is a lie. Do you want to believe the truth or a lie?
Truth.
All right. Okay, now that's important that we want to believe the truth. And you're thinking, Brother George, are you setting me up for something? No, listen. I want you to see the truth because, listen, our nature, do you believe this? Fights the Spirit. So if it fights the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, it fights the truth. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe it. God says, here's what I've given to you. Walk in this. Amen? Put on this righteousness, not yours. Put on my righteousness. Wow. Wow. I remember my dad was in the National Guard back in the 60s. And he was out of the National Guard by this time. And I don't know how old I was, maybe about 8 or 9 years old. And he had his army boots. There. Do you know what I would do? I'd put those boots on. And I'd march around the house with them, right? And here's the whole thing, you know. I wanted to be like my dad, right? And our Heavenly Father wants us to be like Him. And He's made the provision to do that. So you believe the truth, right? All right, here it is. Ready? Listen. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. Galatians 5:22-24. But the fruit of the Spirit, let's liken these. You're more than welcome to turn there. Galatians 5:22. These are our sheep, all right? But the fruit of the Spirit, love, that's one of our sheep, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, that's 5, goodness, that's 6, faith, meekness, temperance, there's 9 of them. Nine sheep. Not a big herd, but just nine of them. He says, against such there is no law. You believe that? All right, listen. God has given that to you. Already, you don't have to have a special session of fasting and prayer because of salvation, because of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have that already. You have that already. Now, you might say, I'm not always very joyful. Doesn't matter. God's already given it to you. I'm not very gentle sometimes. I know, but God has already given it to you. See, you have that already. I know what we are. We're not very kind. We're not very gentle, but God has given to us something. Have you ever found a $50 bill you had tucked away somewhere, or a $20 bill? Right? I completely forgot about that. You ever done that? Right? Completely forgot about that. Or maybe something that you had completely forgot about that you prized. And you weren't using it because you'd lost it. It didn't mean that you didn't have possession of it. You just didn't know you had it. And that can be the same case in your life and mine concerning the fruit of the Spirit. Now, ready? You said this is the truth. We're going to pick up in verse 24. And they that are Christ, this is Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ, are you Christ's? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay. Now watch this. Don't fight against this. And they that are Christ have, is that past tense or present tense? Okay, it can be past tense too. Have crucified the flesh. Now is that past tense or present? Past tense now, right? They have, sorry, I messed up. Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You've already done it. How? On the cross of Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now, here's what we have to think about now. If that is not happening in my life, God is not wanting us to put more elbow grease to it. In fact, God does not want elbow grease at all. He does not want your strength. Is that not the truth? He does not want your strength involved in it. You put your strength to it, it's weak. When it comes to spiritual things, can we do anything in the flesh that's any good? For the spiritual things? Not a bit. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ gave us and indwelt us with His Holy Spirit, that through the Spirit He might be glorified. Now, I want you to see here, keep that thought in mind. We're going to come back to that. Now we're back in our text, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to see Eliab's false accusation of David, and that's found in verse 28. 17:28 says this, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's joy and gentleness." No. Was he in the Spirit? Would it be hard for you to figure out if he was in the Spirit of God? He was not. He was against the things because God was sending David on an errand. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why hast thou come hither?" "Because my father sent me." "And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride." Is there any pride here? Do you see any pride in this conversation at all? But he is falsely accusing. Do you know why? Because he is calling out to David what he himself is guilty of. He was more concerned about himself, not the cause of God. And he was the one that was disobedient to what he was supposed to be doing as a soldier. There was already a battle. He was not willing to stand in the fight because there was not the relationship that was needed between him and the Lord to be used of God the way God wanted to use him. The only reason, listen carefully, the only reason a child of God will fail is because we have failed to realize that God is our strength and to walk in that truth. So in other words, God says, listen, tending to the sheep, follow this allegory, this picture, tending to the sheep, if joy is not there, if the love is not there, if the peace is not there, if the long-suffering is not there, and the rest of the fruits of the Spirit or our sheep are out, and they're not here in our presence, Maybe we should be calling upon the Lord to give us back that which we're not walking in, to help us to understand that it is He who supplies that. So here's what we do. Ready? I can't walk in the Spirit. I can't do that. Well, that's the truth. We can't. But God in us and through us can do that. And so what we need to say is, Lord, we've already crucified the flesh and the affections and the lusts. That's what your word tells us, because you've indwelt us with the Spirit. So I'm going to walk in that today. If you walk in, I can't do that, whose strength are you walking in? God's? No. If you say, I can't, whose strength are you walking in? Doesn't the Bible say, but through Christ I can do? Oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And yet we'll believe the lie. Because who are we looking to? Ourselves. I know that because I fail. Amen? I fail sometimes. I fail. But here's the thing. That's where I got to say, wait a minute. One of my sheep just got out. Amen? And I got to go after that sheep, whatever it is, if it's the kindness or the gentleness or the love or the long-suffering, whatever it might be that has gotten out of my life, I need to go back and say, oh, God, bring that back to me, Lord, that I might walk in you. All right, now listen. So we saw David's responsibility. And really, what we're going to look at here, we've seen this false accusation that Eliab, David's brother, made of David, and that's because he was failing. But I want you to see the key ingredient to faithfulness. And David's going to reveal that to us. And if you will see the revelation and receive it, God will change our lives. Now, I want you to know, because we still deal with the flesh, it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. We can weave in and out of that. We can walk in and out of the grace of God. But at least believe it enough to experience, because when you taste it, and that's on top of your salvation. Do you remember when you got saved? Will you ever forget that? Listen, just as encouraging and just as blessed as you were then, God wants to bless you today with the fruits of the Spirit. Listen, when you got saved, didn't you just, to one degree or another, what a great God. You were worshiping, what a Savior. What a merciful God. What a loving God. And do you know that when we experience God in our everyday lives, God wants us to, that's His witness in us. We will worship the Lord, and the world will look at us and say, what's going on over there? At first they might say, they might be a little off. But then as they begin to learn and watch and see the grace of God in your life and the joy of God, they'll be saying, listen, I think I want that. I'm missing that. I mean, listen, I know when things don't go my way, I lose my joy, and I watch them. God giving us the joy, and we praising the Lord in the midst of a trial or a difficulty or some kind of tribulation, and the world looks on, and the joy of God is there, and the peace of God that we're in His hand is there, and we can walk, and we can still praise the Lord, and the world looks at that. We're being witnesses of His grace in us. We're not telling somebody about something we don't know anything about. We're telling people of things that God is allowing us to experience, that God is giving us. All right, so here it is. Ready? And we're done. The key ingredient to faithfulness. Ready? Verse 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord, did you see that? That delivered me. Did God do something for David? Question, let me ask you that again. Did David just tell King Saul about something that God did for David? Listen, God wants to do things for you and I as well. Amen. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will. He didn't say he might. He didn't say I hope. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You know one thing David knew? He needed God's deliverance. Question. Do you need God's deliverance? Because you can walk through this world and not know and not think that you need God's deliverance because you're too busy trying to do something for God instead of allowing God to deliver you. Do you see that? David knew he needed God to deliver him. And what is he testifying? What is he bragging about? The deliverance of God. Do you know God wants to deliver us so that he can give us something to brag on him about? Let me tell you about my God. I know who I am. I know what I am. But let me tell you about a wonderful, merciful God that delivers. Amen? All right. So David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, out of this trial, out of this difficulty, out of this thing that hasn't gone the way that I thought it should go. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. I'm not going to, I spoke a little bit about that Sunday. I'm not going to re-preach that. But let me invite you over to verse 46 and we'll be finished here. 46. And notice what it says here. Now David's in front of Goliath. And this is his obstacle, his trial, his difficulty in verse 46. This day. Did you see what David is saying? Not, I hope, not tomorrow. Not maybe someday. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Tell me, when will the Lord deliver you? When will the Lord deliver you? Tomorrow? Next week? How about today? How about right now, tonight? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? Why? Why does God want to do this in your life and mine? Why the assurance? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen? And one more verse. And all this assembly shall know. Do you know what? God wants all this assembly to know. But not from somebody else. From your life. My life. All of our lives. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to have any special equipment. In fact, God says, come with nothing. And I'll give you all that you need. For the battle is the Lord's. Oh, look at that. It's not ours, is it? And he will give you into our hands. That is a picture of truth, an allegory of truth. God is our deliverer right now, if we'll have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. We ask your blessings on the prayer time to follow. We pray, Lord, that you would draw our hearts close to you. And Lord, that we would just realize you've given to us everything that's already been completed and finished in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We just simply need to see it, receive it, Lord, as you've given it to us, and walk in that truth. And not by the way that we think, but what your word tells us. Bless the rest of the service, and we'll praise and thank you. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.